It's Humboldt Holding Up, the Lost Coast Outpost's home run of a podcast. I'm Andrew Goff.
And I'm Stephanie McGarry. Now, why would you start off this week's intro by saying some really silly baseball reference, Andrew?
Well, it's funny you ask that, Steph, because as we know, when Humboldt summer rolls around, there's a few things that must happen. You must go to the river, and you must tend a Humboldt Crabs baseball game at the Arcata ballpark. You must heckle the opposing bums. You have to, these are things that you must be done in order for Humboldt summer to be official.
Part of the Humboldt summer checklist. Every year I have my little checklist.
Yeah. But as we know, COVID robbed us of a crab season for the first time, I believe, in their existence since they were founded in 1945. And to talk about the coming season, we were able to sway President David Sharp to join us in the Zoom room to talk about all things crabs and what fans can expect.
So President Sharp last year, very close to just about this same time in May, he put out an announcement on YouTube talking about the cancellation of the 2020 season. And here's a little clip from that.
I know it seems inconceivable that there won't be crabs baseball this summer. It's a decision that we hoped we'd never have to make. But for the sake of the health and safety of our community, we feel it's the difficult but appropriate thing to do. Hopefully, relatively soon, we'll all be back together at the Arcata ballpark to enjoy a beer, eat a hot dog, yell at the umpires, and heckle the opposing teams, or simply just to share a moment with our family or friends.
Historic announcement.
Yeah.
And it led to many, many a sad crabby out there. But
let's go ahead and get President Sharp in here to talk to us a little bit about this exciting new season, which is just around the corner. Opening night is June 4th, and he's going to tell us a little bit about what we can expect and, of course, how this last year has been for the Crabs.
David Sharp, president of the Humboldt Crabs, we want to thank you for joining us. And we just get right into this. So David, how is it? How long is it that you have been the president of the Crabs then?
I have been the president for almost 2 years. So back in November of 2019 is when I officially became president. And for the president, we usually serve a 3-year term. So this is technically my second season, although we didn't have a season last year. So I've been on the board. I first joined the board back around 2007 and stayed with them for about 3 years, and then started a family, career change, moved away from the board and came back about 2017 or 18 to rejoin the board. And then before I was a board member, I played for the Crabs. So 1999, 2000, 2001, 2002. I pitched for the Crabs. So let's go before that. I went to Crabs camps and been a Crabs fan my whole life.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll get back into, sort of your personal history here in a bit, but yeah, I think you're right that I don't think you said you get a 3-year term as president, and I don't think this last year should count. You should get to have a bonus season.
That's what everybody tells me. Yeah. Like we took the year off and I should just tack one more on, but that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lenient
yes.
board there.
Yeah. So yeah, we've had definitely a sad and difficult year in so many ways, and for many folks I think one of the very sad things has been a year without Crabs baseball. You were just saying you started in November of 2019, so not very long into being president you had to make this decision to not have a season and make an announcement about it. I guess it wasn't completely your decision, but now here we are with the 2021 season about to begin, and just around the corner, we have opening night on June 4th, I believe. So I'm sure that you're very excited about that, and so are certainly many other folks. We know that, of course, with COVID protocols still in place, that crowds are going to need to be a little less packed, and some things like that. But, you know, what other changes can we expect this year? Like, what is this season going to look like?
Oh boy, where to start? I'll tell you what's not going to change is that we're going to have a great baseball team that's coming to Humboldt County next week, starting with practices Wednesday and Thursday, and then we start playing Friday, June 4th. So that's not going to change. We've got our entire coaching staff coming back, and we're bringing in some teams that maybe haven't been up here before, and some that are familiar foes. So we're going to have a great team, a good schedule, and we're going to have fans in the ballpark. And that's kind of where the changes start is how many fans, what are the expectations once they come into the ballpark, and you know what's different. So for the first three series of the year, so that's the first weekend, the next midweek series, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the following weekend, capacity is going to be limited. So we're going to have about 400 to 440 fans, which if you can envision kind of a slow Tuesday or Wednesday night crowd, that's about the size what you can expect.
Okay. I was going to say, how many does the park usually hold? What's the max?
Our capacity is 1,600. So we've had nights like a fireworks night where we can get a lot of fans in there.
Okay. Yeah.
So once fans are in the ballpark, they've already taking a step back, they're going to purchase their tickets online, at least for those first three series, where according to COVID guidelines, seating has to be reserved, it has to be assigned. So fans are going to need to purchase their tickets in advance. And that's a big change because we've always allowed people to walk up and buy tickets at the front gate. But
yeah.
Tickets are going to be sold in pods of 1 to 6 people per pod. So we've got a variety of different sizes that fans can choose. And within those pods, folks need to be from a single household, not supposed to be mixing households.
Right.
So that's a big change. And then once you're in the ballpark, ordering food and ordering beverages will be done through an online app. So fans
really?
Will be able to order their phone, order food and drinks from their phone, and then come pick it up. And they can even pay with a credit card over their phone or pay in cash when they pick it up. So those are kind of the major changes and, you know, what a journey it's been to get to this point and to put all these pieces into place and hopefully they work.
Yeah. So when you say people are going to be ordering food online, is there a Crabs app or is this just your site that the people will be able to pull up? How's that going to work?
Yeah, great question. So it's a site. It's ordering.app/Crabs Food. And then to order alcoholic beverages, which I'm excited this year to announce that in addition to beer, we're going to have wine and cider. So Trinity River and Old Growth Cellars are going to have their wine in the ballpark, which is super exciting. And then cider from Humboldt Cider Company. So,
all right. Classing it up.
Classing it up, listening to our fans and you know, giving them what they want.
I think that that's great to have the options. I have to say, after you know going to you know Giants games for so many years too, there's always kind of like we would kind of make fun of people who drank wine at a ball game. Like who drinks wine at a ball game?
Well, that's yeah, Crabs fans now.
People do.
Yeah, I can see a lot of wine consumption on maybe a cold Friday or Saturday
night.
That's
a very
there
good
you go.
Point.
Yes.
And
Sunday,
at a cold stadium,
you know, the cider is light. I can see a lot of cider consumption.
Yeah, definitely.
On a warm Sunday afternoon. So in order to you know purchase your drinks, actually, you're going to pre-order them. So that's ordering.app/CrabsBev, B-E-V, keeping it short and simple. So we're going to have social media posts. We're going to have signage. We're going to get the word out so fans can be ready to have that site on their phone before they get to the ballpark. And even if they don't, they can see it at the ballpark, put it into their phone and place their order.
Then how does it work with confirming that folks are of legal drinking age?
Great question. So on the ordering.app/CrabsBev, before they even get to that point, we're going to have a ID check station where they're going to get a wristband.
Okay.
Kind of speed up the process at the bar.
Okay.
And then second, through the site, through the app, you're not paying for it. You're pre-ordering it. So you still have to go up to the bar, show your order, verify your ID, and then you'll be allowed your beverage.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. And we're still going to be seeing the Crab's Grass Band there this year, right?
Eventually. So I've been in touch with them. Up until June 15th, one of the guidelines, and I've spent way too much time reading these guidelines, but
they're there for a good reason.
Yeah. But yeah, you just kind of learn parts of it fit into our little baseball team. You know what I mean? Where it's like, we're just trying to play baseball, but oh yeah, we have this great band. So how does COVID guidelines affect our band? Well, unfortunately, for the first few series of the weekend of the year, we're not going to be able to have the band because the guidelines say that you're not supposed to exhale air through an instrument for fear of spreading the virus. Yeah. So, okay, I understand. We probably don't want to have a giant section of the band, you know, playing the horns and then
a super spreader tuba.
So they've been very understanding of that. We're going to reassess that. And starting June 15th, I hope to have the band back in the ballpark.
I actually hear them practicing. They practice near my mom's house out in a field, and they're all kind of distant out there, like sitting in chairs 6 feet apart outside. And so you can hear them out in that neighborhood. So it's been getting me excited about hopefully having them back. Yeah,
they are great. They add to the atmosphere. I mean, this is why, you know, we get teams that come from all over to come play the Crabs, and how we can get great players to play for us. It's just the atmosphere of the community that loves the team, loves going to the ballpark, and the band is a big part of that. So June 15th, I don't know if it'll be exactly that day, but shortly thereafter, we hope to have the band back in the ballpark, you know, playing their tunes and getting rowdy and heckling the umpires and the other players.
They definitely they add to the rowdy atmosphere a little bit. So, and yeah, normally I would think of them like being there on opening night. That's kind of a little sad that can't be, but you know, still going to be great, I'm sure. Do they get to play, you know, to maybe kind of, cause part of the fun of the band too is getting the kind of cheers and stuff going. And on other bandless nights, does music, like for doing the chants and stuff, just get played like over the loudspeakers?
We do have music that kind of fills in those quiet dead zones. But believe it or not, the Crabgrass Band has a CD I believe we have. So we're going to try to pump in some music from the Crabgrass Band, even when they're not there.
This would have been a nice thing to be promoting over the last year for people to listen at home.
David, do you have a favorite Crabgrass Band selection? What are you hoping to hear most when they return?
Two things. I love Crazy Train. When that comes on, that's just awesome.
Yeah, that's one of them.
And then I love Elvira. I mean, Oak Ridge Boys. I grew up, my parents listened to that to them, but that has a lot of meaning for the Crabs. Elvira Bonamini and the Bonamini family and Lou Bonamini that started the Crabs, and just it kind of, I hear that song, it takes me back to, you know, 1945 when this all started, and just how awesome it's been to carry on that legacy and, you know, continue this program for 75 plus years.
Nice. Well, so, you know, you've talked a little bit about how this, you know, past year of COVID has affected the Crabs. And you said before that one of the things that's not going to change is, you know, having a great team coming back. I'm kind of curious, there's a couple of things that I specifically want to ask about how this last year impacted the Crabs. One of those things has been, you know, other than not being able to hold the games, you know, have you lost a lot of practice time? Are there players that were maybe planning to return that weren't able to? Like, what are some of the impacts that the COVID has had on the team overall?
Well, primarily the biggest impact has been, and it's not a negative impact per se, is that we really narrowed down where our players are going to be coming from. So they're California kids. It might be an Oregon kid or an Arizona kid or two, but in the past we've had players from all over the country, even New Jersey.
Okay.
So these are guys that they're closer to home, and they come from the same big schools that you know we've come to see on the roster. So Sac State, Cal State Northridge, St. Mary's, UC Davis, Cal State Fullerton, University of Oregon, University of San Francisco, Fresno State, but had we played last year, if for whatever reason we had a chance to play last year, that would have been a real challenge because those guys missed out on a lot of baseball. Okay, they weren't playing in the spring. But fortunately, this year they have been playing.
Yeah.
And we expect them to be sharp. We expect them to be prepared and ready to go right away. We're not going to have our full roster for the first weekend. It's going to be maybe 15, 20 guys.
Okay.
And then we have a roster of about 28 players. So once regionals wrap up and school ends, more players will slowly come in until we're about full force in the mid, probably middle of June.
Okay. Okay.
How has this last year of COVID affected the organization? Like, what does it mean for the Crabs to lose a year of the revenue that you generate from ticket sales? Is that how do you overcome that?
Yeah. So as far as the operations, two things never stopped and they never will stop. And that's recruiting baseball players and putting together a schedule. So immediately after the 2019 season, we were recruiting players and we were getting opponents on the schedule. So we were ready if we had the chance to play, but operations wise, we've just kind of had to look at everything, turn it on its head, shake it up a little bit and see what comes out. So we've re-examined everything. Financially, we're very fortunate to have been in a position where we have reserves, where we've had some successful years where we put money in the bank, saved it up, and literally a rainy day fund, and it poured. And so we were ready for it. That just kind of goes to the stewardship of the board and the financial decisions that we've made and operating it like a business and making sure that we have money tucked away for, well, I don't think you could ever plan for this, but we were fortunately ready, but still, you know, we're going to have a pretty limited staff this year. It's going to be a lot tighter than has been in years past for obvious reasons. We're not expecting, in reality, we might lose a few games where there might be a case here or there that we can't field a team and a team cancels. We got to be prepared for that too. But we've got 48 games on the schedule. We hope to get them all in. And that includes one road trip down to San Luis Obispo.
And I guess I don't know what tends to be, you know, the biggest expense of the organization, you know, on a normal year.
Mm-hmm. Our staff is the big expense. Okay. And of course, our inventory, our cost of goods sold for the concessions and for the beer. I mean, those are, you know, traveling is a huge expense as well. But the player housing has been a challenge this year as the dorms at HSU were closed. A lot of students moved off campus for housing, and we didn't quite have as many apartments as we were expecting coming into this summer as we have in years past. So it was kind of a scramble actually to reach out to as many people as we could in the community. And I got to tell you that the support was just amazing where, you know, we were asking people, you know, what do you have? Can you help us out in any way? And people stepped up in a big way. So it just kind of goes back to our fans and just the community and the love that they have for this program. And it makes us go without the fans, without the sponsors, you know, we couldn't make this happen.
Yeah. What about the visiting teams? You know, how has that impacted? You said before that maybe you'll have some teams in that haven't been to the area before. Are you also kind of keeping that, you know, in a smaller, like California only, or, and then where would they be staying and stuff when they come?
Right. So, these are primarily California teams and, you know, they stay in local hotels. And there's a few teams that are usually on our schedule. There's a team out of Reading. There's a couple others that either couldn't field a team or couldn't make the trip up. So, We've either got some new teams on the schedule that we haven't played before, or maybe not the A team. So a team from Reading that we're used to playing that's, you know, a strong club, a strong program. They're not coming this year, but we have another team from Reading filling in. So I would say the strength of our schedule is not as good as it has been in the past, but, you know, during this time we've had to make choices and just, you know, let's put some teams out there. Let's get some game scheduled and let's get the fans in the ballpark and, you know, hopefully return all the way back to normal in 2022.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, as with everyone, we've had to do, you know, lots of improv and learning on the fly and juggling. And yeah, you're going to have all sorts of interesting headaches moving forward, I'm sure. But President Sharp, you, as you mentioned earlier, you are a former Crab, and something we like to do on this show is get people's kind of personal histories. So maybe you can talk a little bit about how that came to be for you, how you came to don the Crabs uniform way back in. What were the years you said?
I played for the Crabs from 1999, 2000, 2001, 2002. So born and raised in Eureka, went to St. Bernard's, went to college. And after my freshman year of college, I was fortunate enough to get a spot on the roster of the 1999 Crabs team, which was just recently inducted into the Hall of Fame. So by virtue of just being on the roster, I was the worst player on the best team. We were 45-3 that year. Okay. And somehow I'm in the Hall of Fame. Well, at least the team is, and I was on the team. But stuck around for 4 years. Shorty Ames was our manager. Robin Guyver, I played with him, and he also became a coach once he was done at Washington State. Reggie Christensen, he was a coach as well. He was coach at Ferndale, and now he's the head coach at Sacramento State and has done a great job with that program. Yeah. And also Al Brizak, who was my high school coach at St. Bernard's and my connection to get on the Crabs, and you know, somebody that's been a mentor and a model in my life and somebody I stay in touch with. So, you know, kind of the game of baseball has brought a lot of opportunities for me. But after playing for the Crabs, I was actually the manager of the Humboldt All-Stars, which later became the Humboldt Steelheads. It was a local team sponsored by the Crabs. So I managed that team from 2004, I believe, to 2010. So we played a lot of games against the Crabs at the ballpark, beat them a few times, but it was a team for local guys, kind of like myself, that were just looking for a chance to keep playing baseball and, you know, get better at the game. And that program was started in 1995 by the Crabs, and in particular, Greg Shanahan. Greg was a former Crab, played for the Dodgers, St. Bernard's guy. And he started the team, coached the team, and was instrumental in giving a lot of local guys an opportunity to play baseball. And eventually a few of them even played for the Crabs after they were done with us. So in about 2007 or 8, I joined the Crabs board. I after a year, I became the treasurer. I stepped away in 2010 and then came back to the board about 2017 or 2018 and then became president about a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Now did you grow up going to Crabs games? Was becoming a Humboldt Crab something that you dreamed about when you were young?
Yeah, absolutely. So I went to Crabs camps. I remember going there and just seeing these players and just being in awe. 1985, they had a great team and they had a great pitcher named Mike Harkey, who went on and played for the Cubs, and he was just a dominant pitcher for the Crabs. And that was kind of, as a five-year-old, kind of falling in love with the game and following the Crabs and going to games and just thinking, oh, maybe someday, but probably not. So when the opportunity came, it was really cool to put the uniform on, and something that I've cherished for and I will forever. It's just a really cool thing to be able to do that. And I'm very fortunate and happy this year that we've got three local guys on our roster for the Crabs that are getting that chance as well. So,
And who can you name them? Who?
Yeah. We've got Ethan Fischel. He's an infielder from Eureka High that's currently going to school at Willamette. And we have Aiden Morris. He's a catcher utility guy from Eureka High, and he's at Bethel University. And then finally, we have Caleb Ruiz, who is went to St. Bernard's. He's at Umpqua Community College up in Oregon, and he's a right-handed pitcher. So those three guys, you know, getting the chance to play for the Crabs. And we might have a couple other – the thing about the roster is that it changes, and it'll change between now and when they show up. It's kind of a crazy thing.
Okay.
It's hard to stay on top of, but we're excited about those local guys and all of our guys coming up next week.
Yeah. Now, can you, like, for people who might not know how this all works, can you explain like the universe that the crabs exist in? Like, what is it like, you know, the crabs play in a league, and I'm the name slips my mind at the moment. Is it the Far West League, or is that not the case anymore?
Not anymore. So we are independent is the best way to put it. But actually the best way to kind of picture that universe is Jerry Nutter, a longtime board member, helped get the crabs back on track in 1995, was just instrumental in making the crabs a business and function and just do things the right way. Jerry would always say, summer collegiate baseball is the world's only functioning anarchy. I mean, there is no structure. There is, I mean, it's just everybody for themselves. So we are independent. We are fortunate that we play most of our games at home. We have the luxury of being able to pay visiting teams to come up here. Of course, it doesn't cover their entire costs, but it helps offset some of that travel expense to come here. We've been in leagues. We look at leagues consistently. And it's just got to be a fit, because our mission is to provide family entertainment to our local fans at a reasonable price. So to go on the road a lot is difficult, but to stay at home all summer long and bring in good teams, that's a big challenge.
Yeah, because it seems like, you know, the product of the crabs is, you know, you're kind of selling this magical baseball experience. You know, I remember when the guy talked about how much he loved the crabs on Jeopardy, and, you know, like, and there's been the Jay Leno spot, like, the, you know, the magic of the crabs has been well documented. But like at this point, when you say you're an independent team, like, what do these games mean? Like, what is at stake at any given crabs game?
Really, I look at it for the players. Okay, what's at stake for them is an opportunity to maybe get innings that they didn't get in the spring, or whatever they need to do to prepare themselves either for their next season at college or to get drafted. You know, we get players from great schools, and they have high expectations for coming up here and playing against good competition and, you know, continuing to get better. And what helps is just having a great atmosphere, and that product that you talk about is, you know, once you step in the gate and, you know, hear the crack of the bat, you hear the band, you've got the beer and everything else. It just is an atmosphere that I'm not going to say it's unmatched, because there's a lot of great programs out there that do it the right way. But it's just so cool in our backyard to have something that's as close to professional baseball as you can get without having to drive 5 hours to the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Now, if the internet is to be trusted as a solid source for crabs history, it would seem to me that the crabs have never had a losing season in their nearly 70 years of play. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah.
Okay. Now, how does that happen? How can it be possible that this team be so dominant?
Great players, great coaches, and just a tradition that, you know, in a way sells itself to these college coaches and these players, where they're going to come to a first rate program. We're going to take care of the players. And it's just going to be a good experience for them and something that they'll want to come back to.
Yeah. I was telling Andrew before this, that like to me as an Arcata, you know, raised person and frequent Crabs game goer, I always feel like anytime the Crabs lose, it's like, everybody is just in pure shock because the Crabs are like, they're usually, I mean, they're just also, they're a really good team. I mean,
Superman. Yeah.
You go for the atmosphere for sure too, but also, you know, the team, I mean, like we're just saying, is, you know, really good, always has a really good season. But how much do you think that also, you know, the fans contribute to that? The just encouragement from the folks that come there helps them just shine.
No, that's probably the first thing that our guys notice on opening night is, you know, a packed ballpark of just rabid fans, hungry for a win.
Yeah.
You know, drinking a few beverages, getting a little bit rowdy, and they just kind of, because they come from college programs that, you know, are great programs, but they're not you come to a Crabs game and you want to see them just kick the crap out of the other team.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. To heckle and get on the other team when you know you've got a great chance to win. And
yeah,
sometimes rub it in.
Sometimes I almost feel bad for the other team, but one of my favorite things that like a person ever yelled out at a game when there was like some heckling going down, and then a person shouted out, "We're actually really nice people."
this is something I wanted to ask you about a little bit about the culture of the Arcata ballpark. Cause like I was watching the video that y'all posted last year when you were announcing that the 2020 season was canceled. And in that clip, you know, you were talking about how you were hopeful that crowds would return in 2021. And you mentioned it here earlier today, but you said, so we can enjoy a beer, eat a hot dog, yell at the umpires, and heckle the opposing team. And now I've been to plenty of Crabs games over the year, and I know that that part of the theater of the whole experience, you know, beer, hot dogs, heckling. But I found it interesting that an endorsement of heckling would come straight from the top. So like maybe, you know, President Sharp, you can give folks some guidelines here. Like what constitutes inbounds heckling?
You got to keep it clean and try not to make it personal.
Okay. Yeah. There are kids present.
Lots of kids present. And yeah. They're listening. They pick up on things real quick. So you can just make it funny. Make it, you know,
okay,
something colorful. But you know, don't cuss. Don't get personal. I mean, if a guy's short, you can make fun of that. All right. I guess that might not be
okay.
Personal, okay. But it's, you know.
But I imagine like bum is an accepted, like you refer to the opposing team as bums. That's kind of a standard accepted baseball slur. It's like,
well, what's great is that kind of the rowdy section is sits closest to the bar, which is also close to the visiting team dugout, and there's no cover on the dugout. So as you walk from the dugout to get ready to go on deck or even out to the field, you've got to walk towards the heckling fans, and you've got direct line of sight before you head on the field. So it's always present. And I tell you what, once a team has come up and played a series and it's all over, they appreciate that. They enjoy that. They play a lot of games in front of, like, you know, girlfriends and grandmas. It's
right.
You know, not the atmosphere that they get at the ballpark. So a lot of guys like to get heckled. They like to get the attention. Yeah.
It's like a professional wrestling match almost. Like,
right. I think so. Yeah, yeah. You're kind of in a way cheering for like the other guy, the bad guy, as much as the hero. It's like you're cheering for the other team too in a slightly more mean-spirited way. It's like you're letting them know that.
You bring up a good distinction there, where like if you want a squeaky clean Crabs experience, then you sit on the left side of the stands. but if you really want to go to a Crabs game, you sit by the band and by the bar. And, where the rowdy folks
are. If you're in a heckling mood, it's known for being over there. Usually the more of the family folks sit out on the left side, but. Either way, still, I've had people, you know, I've seen people actually say, you know, tell a person when they were out of line. And that's the other thing that I think is cool about the ballpark culture, is that it really self-regulates a bit too. You know, I think that when people are getting too rowdy or, you know, are getting a little drunk and they maybe let out some swears when they're heckling or whatever, like the other people will be like, hey, we don't do that here. Like, this, you have to, you know, there are kids around, this is a family ballpark, and I don't know if I've actually ever seen somebody get kicked out, but, you know, I've seen
people
warnings occur. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think about it. I'm sure that, you know, it happens on occasion, but like I said, I think people do a pretty good job of, like, that the other fans, you know, make sure that the other fans kind of stay in line a little bit.
They do. And the band's a big part of that too, because, you know, they come to enjoy the game and,
definitely,
you know, they've been around long enough to know kind of where the boundaries are. And if you get over those boundaries, you know, somebody from the band or some longtime fan is kind of going to let you know, hey, come back to the clean side here.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. The band has some of the most creative heckles I've ever heard. I don't know how they come up with it, but it is like a great opportunity to just, like you said, get creative, like try to be really funny and unique with what you could say to the other team. I still think we're actually really nice people was just one of the best. When in doubt, just say something like that.
Very clever. I like the sarcasm. I like, you know, just, you know, be original and have fun and, you know, try not to get out of bounds. Quick story about kind of rowdiness and fans and, you know, where we are today with the Crabs.
Yeah.
And going back to that 1999 team that I was on, during that time, you could bring alcohol into the ballpark. So we didn't sell it. We did not sell it. And you'd have guys coming in with coolers and just sitting up there in the top row and having a great old time. And they would get rowdy.
Sure.
One night, we were hitting, we had a play at the plate. Our guy was rounding third, barrels into their catcher, you know, knocks him down, and then both benches clear. Okay, so both benches, they're getting after it in the middle of the field. And then all of a sudden, over the fence, and I can just see it in my mind in slow motion, comes a can of beer.
Oh. And
right over the fence, right in the middle of the crowd. Fight stops. Okay, everybody's looking at the stands. I don't know if we ever found that person, but we might want to find them and actually thank them, because at that point, we stopped allowing people to come into the ballpark with alcohol and started selling it ourselves. And so you talk about, you know, the operations and the finances of the Crabs, beer sales are a big part of it. And
you
know, certainly within reason and drinking responsibly, but it's kind of from that moment on, I don't know if a light switch flipped or what, but
yeah,
we started selling beer at the ballpark, and then what, you know, there was even free beer days, and I don't know if those were Sundays or what, but they just post up a keg and then you'd have a giant long line and free beer. So
and I will note that the beer that you sell now comes in very soft plastic cups.
It's wrapped in, you know, bubble wrap, and
we're not handing out weapons anymore.
It's hard for me to imagine somebody doing that now, but when you bring up that game and the sort of, you know, the fight, the benches getting up and kind of going in the middle of the field and fighting, you know, this is also something that I've like seen at a couple of games, and I always wonder like what is the story with that, and why, like, at what point is that like not allowed to happen when the teams kind of look like they're getting in a bit of an argument? I mean, I guess that they don't really like actually, you know, start physically fighting or anything, but is this part of the baseball way to do that?
The baseball way.
That's a good way to put it. It's just the baseball way. Usually it's something that's brewing. It just doesn't start spontaneously. It's kind of building up and then boils over. And then, you know, you get young men getting aggressive with one another. And it's kind of a little bit of the unwritten rules of baseball, that players keeping other players accountable and, you know, taking it into their own hands if something or somebody is out of line. And, you know, I don't want to condone fighting or anything. And, you know, I'd rather it just not happen, you know, just beat them on the field. But sometimes it boils over.
Yeah.
Is there a specific team that you would list as being the Crabs' greatest rival? And maybe not even so much for their playing prowess, but just because, as we've said, they're bums.
Who are the biggest bums?
Well, our biggest rival for a long time was Fontanetti's out of the Bay Area. Kind of a similar organization to ours, you know, family run and longstanding, and always had competitive teams and battled with the Crabs. And they certainly weren't bums. They're a first class organization.
Okay.
That was a huge rival. And that was a team that when you saw the schedule, you circled that series and made sure you were there because it was going to be intense, good baseball.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like in the recent years, the B-52s have been one of the teams that I see that with because they're, you know, it's
Eureka. It's a hometown rivalry.
Yeah, exactly. But they're kind of the hometown rivals. And they're sort of a newer team, right? Am I right about that?
Yeah, the B-52s are run by a former Crab Hall of Famer, Jeff Giacomini, and he does a great job with that team. Spencer Bagan helps him out. And, you know, they have really run a first-rate program, a new program, and it's very impressive what they're doing. And, yeah, when we get on the field together, it's going to be an intense game.
I feel a lot of fans, too, a lot of people, because you got the – people from
they got a chip on their shoulder, right? Because y'all got the big stadium and the fans, and so they come in with something to prove.
Yeah,
and to knock off the Crabs off you know that mantle and claim it for themselves.
And they've won games, right? They've won games.
They have won games.
Oh, sure.
Yep.
Yeah. That's someone you go to when you really want to see a really good game. I feel like you know Crabs and B-52s is going to be they actually give them a run for their money.
Yeah, it's not it fills up the ballpark. We've even, you know, gone down to Eureka, Redwood Acres, Blotty Field there and played the B-52s at their ballpark. And it's a good relationship we have with Jeff and that program there. He does a great job. And, you know, we're super sad that they couldn't put it together this year. They'll definitely be back strong next year. And they really do things the right way. And I enjoy going to those games. Yeah. And bringing my son and my family. And, you know, I used to play Babe Ruth baseball at that field, and that's the same snack bar, but now they got, you know, crazy bomber burgers or whatever they call it.
I've heard about that. Yeah. The fun and interesting thing about hometown rivals is like, you'll have people who it's like during any other game that you're like your friends at any other Crabs game, they're a Crabs fan, but then the B-52s play and they're like, oops, switch their hat. I'm actually a B-52s fan. And you're like, wait, what?
in many ways, it's kind of a local team. Yeah. Because they do draw a lot of, you know, local talent that, you know, hopes to play for the Crabs down the road. And that's kind of how the Crabs were started too. I mean, they were the local team. They were the local guys, you know, picking the game up and playing whoever came.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask, I was looking at the Crabs website and it doesn't look like the full schedule is posted yet. Is that's correct, right? I'm seeing the latest.
Correct. So the schedule should be coming out any day if it hasn't already by the time this is aired. So we also are going to roll out the online ticketing, how to purchase tickets. That's coming here very soon. And just sort of expectations and changes and what to expect at the ballpark, what's going to be different.
And it looks like, you know, of the games that you do have posted, there are a few specialty nights. June 5th is Cowbell Night. June 6th is Harry Potter Day. Are there any other surprises that you can reveal as far as special days or events or things that are going to come this season?
Yeah, not yet, but I know we've done Pirate Night. We've done Tie-Dye Night, and it's really cool because our staff, they get dressed up. They're a part of it. The fans show up, and just it adds that atmosphere. But I'm not sure exactly which nights or what, but those will definitely be on the schedule, and folks can see that and be ready for it.
I noticed that July 4th is a Sunday. Have you heard anything about fireworks or anything of that nature?
Yeah, we're not planning any fireworks this year. Primarily just because when we do fireworks, it's a huge crowd. And when this was all getting set up, we had no idea if we would ever have a huge crowd this year or not. So
Yeah.
I remember wasn't it just a couple years ago or so that the Crabs were looking for some new theme night suggestions, and we put up that survey on the outpost. I'm wondering.
I don't remember what the conclusion was.
Yeah,
I don't remember either, but yeah, I'm sure it was creative. And I'm sure the nights that didn't make the cut were probably pretty creative and hilarious. So maybe they should get some attention.
We'll have to revisit that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's most of the things that we had to talk to you about today. You know, is there anything else that you want to add about this season? Talking about it has been definitely getting me excited, and
summer's here.
Yeah, that like marks the start of summer for me. I feel like the first Crabs game is where it's officially summer. So I'm very excited about this being, you know, around the corner. Is there just anything else, any other message you want to get out to the community or the players, or just anything?
I feel the excitement. I feel the anticipation. It's going to be great. And I would just ask fans, anybody involved, just to please be patient. Okay. Cause it's going to be different. There's going to be changes that, you know, it'll take time to get used to. So, but I think really the biggest thing, and I'm thinking of our staff, and these are college students, these are young adults, and, you know, as fans come into the ballpark, if they would just be patient with our staff, if the staff is telling them to do something that, you know, might not have been what it's been like for the last 75 years, that they would just please listen to that and not confront these young adults and put them in a situation that's, you know, awkward or you know, hostile or intense, because, you know, we count on our staff and we need them. And they've got a very tough job this year, whether it's enforcing masks or, you know, greeting all these folks as they come to the ballpark, serving them food. It's going to be tough. So I would just hope that our fans can, they're still going to enjoy the game. It's still going to be great baseball. You might have to have a mask on, but the trade-off is you get to watch the Crabs baseball. So, and if somebody at the ballpark says, hey, you know, please put a mask on or please keep your distance, I don't want to put our staff in an awkward situation where they're in an argument with somebody about something that, you know, we should be doing anyway. So I don't mean that as a downer, but I just mean that as like, you know, let's treat each other with respect and appreciation for what we're doing. And, you know, it's going to be a great season. There's going to be highs and lows, and we're going to get through it one day at a time.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing go ahead.
Oh, I'm just guessing maybe we'll have some new Crabs merch too, of being able to maybe get a Crabs mask if you need one.
Hopefully. I'm not certain what's in store for souvenirs, but, you know, they do a good job keeping things up to date. And, you know, you mentioned about asking the community about ideas for certain theme nights. We also have asked the community for designs and logos for new Crabs gear. So hopefully we can get that unveiled this summer with some specialty items that have been designed by Crabs fans.
Oh, awesome.
For sale. Yep.
Oh, can't wait to hear about that. You know, it also brought up for me one other thing that is a usual part of the games that I feel like maybe also won't be able to be with the limited staffing and trying to reduce, you know, contact is probably the, you know, the raffles and like the 50-50. Will that still be part of the games in any way?
You know, we kind of look at this in a couple phases. The first phase is pre-June 15th, and it's pretty limited. It's pretty bare bones. So, you know, no 50-50. We're not really planning for Bat Boys or Bat Girls or even National Anthem. It's just going to kind of be, let's play ball.
Yeah. And okay.
Once things open up, because at June 15th, there's no capacity limitations. There's no distancing limitations. I don't know. We haven't decided yet if we're just going full bore back to the normal or kind of phasing it in. That's to be decided, because the information just came out last week. So, sure. Again, just the patience, you know, the understanding that we're trying our best. It's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be the best of what we can do with the situation we have.
Absolutely.
And then one other thing, the full schedule not being out yet. I was just curious, did the Healdsburg Prune Packers survive COVID?
They did. Unfortunately, they're not on our schedule this year.
No. Okay.
No, not this year.
for whatever reason, I tend to end up at games with the Healdsburg Prune Packers, and the heckles are just,
I know, it's just
beautiful on Prune Packer night. Yeah. So, okay. Well, we
it might be the only name as funny as our name, as yeah. as the Crabs. Yeah.
We have a full schedule. We've got all the teams. I just talked to Eric Ciccone, who's our scheduling guru. There are a couple funny names out there. I mean, you brought it up. So we got the Seattle Studs.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. Nice.
More like the Seattle Duds, right?
There you go.
Okay.
Petaluma Leghorns.
Oh.
Okay.
I got nothing. Yeah. Foghorn Leghorn.
Okay. And then I don't know if it's funny or just kind of unique, but the Lincoln Potters, that's going to be our opening weekend.
Yeah, more like the Lincoln Knotters. Yeah. I'm trying.
Just see if we can come up with an off the cuff heckle.
Yeah. And then lastly, and this is going to be in early August, is the Alaska Gold Panner. So I don't know if better gold back in the day, us or Alaska. So maybe that could be a
okay. Well, we wish the Prune Packers well in their absence. And President Sharp, we thank you for jumping in the Zoom and sharing with us a little bit of your enthusiasm for the season to come. And we'll see you out at a game. And
thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It's good to get the word out. And you know, we've got a ton of great local community sponsors and partners that help us to do that. So I appreciate what you guys are doing. So thank you.
Thank you. Right. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And go Crabbies.
Go Crabs. Go.
Right.
Bye. All right. Take care.
Thanks. See ya.
All right. Well, thank you to Mr. President David Sharp of the Humboldt Crabs for chatting with us today and getting us excited about the upcoming season.
Yeah, you made it sound like you. It's not even a question. You will be at Crabs games this summer.
I definitely plan to hit a game. I was so excited to take my daughter to her first Crabs game. That's like a rite of passage for an Arcata kid.
Will you sit the heckle section or the clean and sober section?
The clean and sober section.
Pretty much what it ends up being, right?
Yeah. That's so funny. I guess that I'm at that stage in my life where I'm now sitting on the clean side. I'm a family. Okay. I'm a family woman.
All right, Mom.
That's the official. Yeah. That's the measure. That's how you know that you're getting old. Is like I stopped sitting.
You got it. In 18 years, you can move back.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, thanks for listening all. And hopefully I'll get to go out and see a Crabs game. And as President Sharp said, be patient. We're all working to get to the same beautiful utopian, mask-free, worry-free future. So let's be compassionate and kind to each other.
Yes. And goodbye. Later.